Our Father, we do thank you for the words that were spoken. They were all yours, and we thank you for them. And Lord, as we continue in our worship, let our focus be upon you, not on anything but you, Lord, or anybody but you. And I pray, God, that you might speak to our very hearts, that we might leave here with changed hearts and changed minds of where and how we need to change to be pleasing unto you. And I thank you for the opportunity. Hear each one of our prayers as we lift them up unto you. And Lord, I do pray for every person that is in this body this morning, Lord, that we might be jointly fit together, sifted and compressed in your love. And Lord, I do thank you for your words. As we now look further into your word, we thank you for the opportunity as we come to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. You might be seated. I'm going to go on. Actually, it kind of fits with what Jeff has already spoken. We're going to come out of James chapter 4, and I want to use the scripture that was used a couple weeks ago in James chapter 4, verse 17. It says, therefore, and it's a transitional word, but we're going to go back and get 13 here in a minute. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. In other words, if God calls us to do something for him or to make some changes, he calls upon us. If we do that not, it is sin. That's also called the sin of omission. Sometimes we think about sin and we have a list, some of us, that some of us call it the dirty dozen list or whatever, but don't lie, don't steal, don't kill, don't commit adultery, don't watch X-rated movies, don't drink liquor and this and that and the other thing. We're beyond that this morning. I think we all have one of those lists, but what he says here, therefore to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it's sin. The sin of falling to do, the sin of failing to do what God calls us to do. There's all kinds of sins, we know that. All kinds. There are moral sins and ethical sins and spiritual sins, all kinds of sins. But the important thing is once it's revealed to us, that we follow it. If we was to look at the two types of sins, and I'm only going to look at the one this morning, the sin of omission, but we could look at the sins of commission, things that we're commissioned to do and then don't do them. Well, that's sin, of course, but if we know that we're supposed to do it, we know it's true, and we don't do it, he says it's sin. Now, I want to go back to verse 13, if you was with me. James 4:13. He says, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will enter into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. For what ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, remember what we have told you. Whenever you see a therefore, let's think about this, see what it's therefore. It usually refers back to what was said before, but here's what he says. He said, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doesn't do it, to him it's sin. There's something about the sin of omission. It's a deceiving sin. I want to take the illustration and try and make my own illustration out of what James used here. You know, we take this guy that he's talking about. He's a planning guy. You might think about him as a businessman, and he's planning. He's planning what he's going to do, where he's going to go, how he's going to do it. He's planning all of these things. You can think about maybe you do those things. Maybe you do that at the beginning of a new year or something. But whatever, we plan. And I said, we plan. But somehow that we does not include our Almighty God. And if it does not include the Almighty God, then we are in error. Because all of our plans certainly should be filtered through God. Amen? Everything needs to be filtered through God. So consequently, if we know were to do certain things, then they should be going through God. You know, if you look at this guy here that's in the scripture, the things that he'd done, he looked at his business, if he had a business, and all the things he'd done, the Bible certainly is not against planning. The Bible is certainly not against thoughtfulness and thoroughness of planning things. And certainly the Bible is not against hard work. We're supposed to be working hard. The Bible is not even against making money. As a matter of fact, he encourages those things. And I could take you to the book of Proverbs and prove all of these things were good things that this man was doing that James is referring to. But the thing where it's not right, it's the sin of omission, is he left God out of the plan. God was not consulted. And that's exactly what James was saying here to the Christian. You can make all kinds of plans. You can say you're going to do all kinds of things. But how about consulting God first? It goes along with the scripture that brother was saying, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then these other things that you plan, God's in the picture and God will lead us. But if we see here this man that James was talking about, you see no mention of God. You see no mention of prayer. You know, seek no seeking the will of God and no honoring God. This guy was going on in his life and saying, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do the other. And he was going on in his life as if God did not exist. This man who doesn't believe in God, he's a fool, isn't he? But a man that knows God and has accepted God and then doesn't consult God, I think he's a fool too. That's what this man had done, and that's what James is trying to point out to us. I want to give you three examples. Three examples of what Jesus gave us. And this gets serious, so bear with me. Jesus was walking along one day. He was hungry. He seen a fig tree. It was time for the figs to be ripe. But there was no figs on the tree. It was barren. And the scriptures tells us that Jesus cursed it. Now that doesn't mean that he used necessarily bad language against it. But he put a curse on that fig tree. Why? Why did he do that? Because it was barren. What's barren mean? No fruit. No fruit. Why did Jesus curse it? Because he bore it wasn't because the fruit that was on there was poison. There wasn't any fruit. And Jesus did not like it. I'll give you another example, a quick one, and I'll paraphrase it. The parable of the talents. You know, here we got the owner or the farmer or the king or whatever you want to call him, but he went off, he left, and he gave the talents to the three that you remember. But the one who did nothing with what he gave him, he come back. And when he come back, he called him a wicked and slothful servant. Because what he had given him, he took it and he buried it. He didn't use it. He didn't use it to multiply or to grow his kingdom. And Jesus was upset. He had wasted, squandered the money. Hadn't stole it. He just didn't multiply it. He didn't take what he was given and to use it to bring glory and honor to the Almighty. I'll give you another one. The parable of the Good Samaritan. And you might remember this story as the man was going from Jerusalem down to Jericho and he fell among thieves. Jesus told the story how the priest and the Levite, they passed this man by that had been hurt, that was laying alongside the road. They passed him by. Did the priest and the Levite rob the man? No. Did they harm him in any way? No. But he was laying there, and they passed him by. I think these particular stories and parables that you know, because you may have taught them in Sunday school, you may have heard them in Sunday school, they're deceiving sins. And those are examples of the sins of omission. Whenever one knows to do good and does it not. You know, Paula and I have a dog, and most of you know that dog's name is Tiny. And that dog probably could be considered one of the best Christians. She's probably been in church as much as anybody else sometimes. And she gets in here and she runs around. But you know, I can say something about Tiny. She doesn't steal much. She don't steal anything. She don't drink liquor. She knows what's to do good. And most of the time, she obeys her master. I think we're to obey our master when we know that we are called to do something and we do it not. God says plainly here, it is sin. Jesus, James, throughout the whole Bible, we must give a record to know that to do good and doeth it not, it is sin. I want to take 15 and 16 scriptures a little bit. Instead, we ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live to do this or to do that. He says, but now you boast in your arrogance. Sometimes we go around and say, this is what I did, and this is what I did, and this is what I did. That's boasting and arrogance, and that's not what God is looking for us to do. We do it to serve Him and to serve Him and Him only to grow His kingdom. Amen? Amen? That is why we are here, is to serve the Almighty God and to grow His kingdom. And we just heard how we're supposed to do that in unity, compressed, pulled together, caring, compassionate, loving people to move forth and to show what we are, not what we should not be. Let's think about it a minute. Let's think about something else. Why is it that men and women and boys and girls are lost and going to hell? Why? Is it because of the sin of omission or is it because of the sin of commission? They may fail, I want to say this, they are going to go to hell because of what they have done, and that's the sin of commission. But they fail to go to heaven because they have not done something, and that's the sin of omission. And if you think about that, because they do not what they're convicted to do, to be drawn to do, what God calls them to do, it is sin, and it's called the sin of omission. We should not be found there. I want to go further. We all know John 3:17. We probably all know John 3. But, you know, there's a lot of us don't go far enough. We don't take it through John 3:18. John 3:18 says this, "He who believes in Him is not condemned." We believe in Him, we're not condemned. "But he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son." You see, today, man doesn't go to hell because he lies and steals and cheats and adultery and does all those things. Those sins were paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can repent and ask forgiveness of those sins. But you know, whenever we know that we can do this, and when we know that we are called, we are called for a purpose. We are all priests. We are all ambassadors for Christ. Whenever He calls us and the call is upon our life, then we must do it. I entitled this message, as I recall, I entitled it, "When God Speaks, Can We Deny Him?" We best not. When God puts a call on our lives, we need to hear Him and follow Him, not fellow man, not some false spirit, but knowing God. You know, I guess when it comes to a church, there's probably a lot of ways a church can be destroyed. And believe me, I hear it all the time. Churches in disarray. Pastors being shirked and downtrodden and then pastors going off and not being in the will of God, trying to do things in their own power and not the mighty power of God. There are things going on over all over our community and all over the next counties and all over the state of Ohio. And if you talk to our state people, how they are so discouraged sometimes because all they hear is garbage of people going against people rather than following the Almighty God. We have a mind. God gave us a mind. The mind never stops. The mind never stops. It continually goes on and is continually thinking. Sometimes you might wake up at night and you're thinking. And sometimes you say, well, if I could just stop thinking, I could go to sleep. But it doesn't stop. We're continually thinking. You say, well, I just won't think anything and then I'll go to sleep. We can't shut it off, can we? Just can't happen. But if our thinking, please bear with me, if our thinking is based upon this word, is Jesus Christ in written form, if our thinking is upon this, and if we put the barriers up that says, Satan, you stay out of my life. I forbid you to come in the name of Jesus. We don't allow him to come in if we're filled up with this. If we're not filled up with this, I can tell you something that I can call that kind of thinking. It's stinking. You see, the Bible says, do not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. And to take our scripture further, if we know good and we don't do it, if we know what pleases God and we don't do it, it is sin. The Bible tells us that our thinking ought to be right. And he goes on to tell us what right is. I'm not going to the scripture, but you remember that it's there. Whatever things are pure, whatever things are just or lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think upon these things. Think upon what God's word tells us, not what we think. Let us be clear. Our mind is like a garden, and there's a lot of things that are planted in our minds. And let me tell you something, if you've ever grown a garden, you don't have to go too far. And you got weeds, all kinds of weeds coming in your garden. And if you don't weed your garden, if you don't get rid of the things that just seems to fly in and the seeds come and it's just like a fungus gets into the garden and takes it over. And that same thing can happen to our mind and our thinking. If it's not based upon this word, we can all make irrational decisions, very irrational, if we're not basing our thinking and allowing our thinking to be this word. And how I encourage it. That's why we continually encourage you to come to Sunday school. And tonight, we're going to have a tremendous lesson tonight on John 15. It's about the vine and the branches. I'm wondering how many will be here tonight to really understand where they are and to answer the questions that we have on the bottom of your outline this morning. The sin of omission can be destructive, and I'm going to give you just one example out of the Bible. I won't even go there and read it, but I'll give you the example and I'll try and paraphrase it. David. We all know David, and we love David. He wrote many of the Psalms. He was a king, and he had a lot of power. We can read about that David was after God's heart, and so on and so forth. But I want to tell you about this sin of omission, and how it destroyed David. We all know the story about David and Bathsheba, and how David was attracted to Bathsheba, and he fell into sin because of lust. But let me share what happened. When we talk about this thinking that's in our minds, this thinking that goes on in our minds, how it will take us somewhere where we should not be going, I want you to follow what happens. Whenever we are not busy doing the things that God calls us to do, then we fall into the things that God doesn't want us to do. And that's what happened to David. You know, David was the king. And if you go to 2 Samuel chapter 11, you could read this story. But the story, it goes something like this. David was supposed to be the king. He was supposed to be leading the army of God against the enemy. Do you know what David did? David says, nope, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to send Joab. And he can go with all of his servants, and they lead the army. You know what happened? David stayed home. He stayed in Jerusalem. He stayed away from where he should be and should have been. The scriptures tells us in the middle of the afternoon, I think it's called evening tide in the Bible, David was found in bed, getting out of bed when the sun was about to go down. That's not where he was supposed to be as a leader of the army of Israel. What happens? David gets up, he stretches, he walks out on the king's palace roof, and he looks down and he sees Bathsheba bathing, a beautiful woman. And immediately, lust takes over. The thinking gets stinking, folks. He was not where he should have been. Now he has this before him, and Satan's having a ball with it. And Satan plants the seeds of lust and of looking at that woman bathing. And he lusted, and his thinking went there because he wasn't where he needed to be. And because he wasn't where he needed to be, that's what we're talking about. The sin of omission. He omitted where he should have been, where he was supposed to be, whenever God was putting a call on his life. And he rejected it. Consequently, there was a lot of destructiveness that came into David's life because of that. I'll try to catch up here with my notes and we're going to move on. But the point that I wanted to make was the sin of omission becomes the root of all sin. And we're talking about Christians here, incidentally. We're talking about people, if you are where you need to be, prayed up in this word, growing with Christians, edifying other Christians, uplifting others, encouraging others, rather than tearing down. If we're where we need to be, then we won't fall into the many sin traps that are set for us. But I'm going to tell you straight up and very candid. The sin of omission is a root of a lot of sin. It's the reason that there are many broken homes. It's why marriages, even among Christian families, are broken when they should not have been broken. It's why some marriages unravel themselves before their very eyes. What does a man do? What's a man have to do to destroy his home? Does he have to reject his wife or beat her or curse her? No. You can ignore her. And as you ignore her, I want you to listen to this. As one woman told her husband, she said, "You just don't love me. You never tell me that you love me anymore. I never hear it from you." He says, "Look, old lady, I told you I loved you when I married you, and if I change my mind, I'll tell you." That's the kind of attitude that some of us take. Whenever we got to remember, you don't just fall in love, folks. You grow in love. You grow in love with your partner. You grow in love and into a love relationship with the Lord God Almighty. You grow into that relationship. It's not like whenever you get your salvation, you've got a diamond, so now you can go around and just be proud of that. That's not it. We're to build that relationship with our Almighty God. Because a love is kind of like a flower. If we think about this love that's in this church and how I do love every one of you, and I want you to love one another, and I want you to come together and to love one another as we're all supposed to do, and to edify and to encourage and to get into it. But I want you to know that love is like a flower. It's got to be cultivated. It's got to be nurtured. It's got to be watered. It's got to be weeded. The reason some of us have homes that are in deep trouble is because of this sin of omission. And I encourage us, don't fall into it. When God calls you to do something, please hear Him. Please hear Him. I got a little story I want to tell you, and I'm going to be finishing up quickly. Hang with me. Every day in Africa, every morning, a gazelle wakes up. And that gazelle knows he can't outrun the fastest lion. He's going to die if he can't outrun it. Every morning in Africa, a lion wakes up. And that lion knows if he can't outrun the slowest gazelle, he's going to starve. And so whether you're a lion or whether you're a gazelle, you wake up running. Because if you don't, you're not going to make it. Friends, let me tell you something. Your life's like that. And we can't sit around on our spiritual high knees. We got to get up and do the things and keep running for the Lord Jesus Christ and hearing Him and following Him to accomplish His will and not ours. You know, I want to get to the bottom line of this whole message. If you know of a need in this church, and God lays it upon you to do that, guess what? You better do it. If you know God's calling you to lead the youth in this church, if you know that God's leading you to teach a Sunday school class in this church, if God lays upon your heart as you walk past a waste paper basket and it's full, it's okay for God to tell you and for you to hear Him, pick it up and take it to the trash can. So simple. If everybody does a little bit, it makes it so much easier for God to attain His will, because He doesn't have to take somebody away that's over here doing something else to accomplish that. You know, I'd love to see a choir up here again. I'd love to see a choir singing praises unto the Almighty God, and it just thundering into the streets of this Coshocton. Where is it? We need to want it, teachers. If God's calling us and you refuse, is it the sin of omission? If you know of any need that God is laying upon your hearts, we need to do it. It's not rocket scientist stuff. To know there's a need, to know that something is good, and we do it not, to Him, it is sin. You know, I thought about the old cliche of Nike, and they used it for a lot of years. They got a lot of mileage out of it. Just do it. I think that applies to anything that God calls us to do. When He lays it upon our hearts, we need to just do it. God makes available so many blessings, so many things that we have opportunities to please Him. And if you can tell me that there's anything else that you were made by God for other than to please Him, please let me know where you find that in the Scriptures. Because we were made to please Him and to build a love relationship with Him. So when God calls, don't deny Him. Allow him to have his way. If he calls you to salvation, then just do it. Receive him. If he calls you to join this church, then receive it. And let's go to work for him. That's what it's all about. If God calls you to serve him in some way, please, let's talk about it. Just do it. If God inspires you to get busy filling your calling, and everybody has a calling. There's not one person in here that God doesn't have a calling on their life. We all got to do a little bit. God desires for us to build a very personal relationship with him. You see, whenever I build this personal relationship with him, and I can talk with him, and he talks back to me, whether it be through the Spirit or through the Word of God, whenever he speaks back to me, and I can talk back to him, and I can make my request made to him, and I can praise him, and I can honor him. You see, whenever I build that type of a relationship, then it's not a burden for me to do what God calls me to do. It's no longer a burden. It's a want to. I've got to run to it, and I want to do it. Because I'm pleasing my God, and that's what I want to do. I don't want to disappoint him. And you see, that's where we are. That's where we got to be. Because if we are not, if we know that we are to do the good, and we do it not, to him, it is sin. Can we stand and pray together, please? Father, we've given you your way, your freedom. It's up to you, Lord, to deal with the people. I thank you for the opportunity that I could serve you. But now, Lord, it's your church. And I pray, God, that you'll draw people to come and to really bow down themselves and say, God, I want to change. I don't want to continue in these sins of omission, of doing things and not doing things whenever I know I should do them. Lord, lead us this morning into the scriptures of Ephesians 3 and 4 and also this sin of omission. Let us get rid of it. And I thank you for the opportunity that we all have as we come in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. As the music plays, that's kind of just immaterial. The important thing is that you accept God's call upon your life and give to him and not hold back. If he's calling upon your life, just do it and come to him. If you want prayer, if you want us to pray with you, we love you and we'd love to pray with you. Mike is here and I'm here and other deacons are here, so please. The lateness of the hour is no reason for you not to come and bow down to the Almighty God.